Okay, good morning and good chodesh, everybody. Today's daf is Makos Daf Chaf. We are holding on Daf Yutes and Beis. Elisha left off on the third wide line of Daf Yutes and Beis at Amar Rav Asi. We want to take the opportunity to thank Elisha once again for covering the Daf Yomi Shir while I was gone over the last few days. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Elilu Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, they should return home safely. Also by Eliza and Aaron Herzen family, in memory of Eliza's father, Judge Noach Dir Zichrona Levracha, Noach Ben Meshulam Shrago, whose fifth yahrzeit was Wednesday, also by Rabbi David and Debbie Friedman, in honor of the wedding tonight of their granddaughter Liora Friedman to Eitan Dukas. Mazel tov to the Friedman and Dukas families and Fessel families. We look forward to celebrating that simcha. They should have much nachas from the young couple. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to start discussing today. First, we're going to have a discussion whether one is only chayiv for eating Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim if that Maaser Sheni was once in Yerushalayim. But if it had never been in Yerushalayim, is there a chiyuv malchus for eating the Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim? And that conversation is going to take us all the way to the Mishnah on Amud Aleph. And then the Mishnah is going to start some of the most halacha l'maaseh sugyas of the entire Masechta, where we're going to talk about the Isurim, not only of making bald spots and cuts over a mace, which hopefully are a little less l'maaseh, but of cutting the peos harosh and destroying the peos hazaka, and what the dinim are of the peos. And the Gemara is going to begin by discussing the dinim of the Isur to make a bald spot in mourning over a mace. The Gemara is going to talk about how much hair qualifies as a karcha over a mace, and the Gemara is going to relate this to removing hair on Shabbos, and then the Gemara is going to begin the discussion of hakafas peos harosh, of cutting off the peos on a person's head, and the Gemara is going to have three different explanations of how the nikaf can be chayiv even though he doesn't do anything, meaning there's a guy that's giving the haircut, so he's doing the maisa isra. It makes sense that he's going to be the one that's going to be chayiv, but why is the guy sitting in the barber's chair who's getting his peos cut off, why is he chayiv? He's not doing anything, he's just sitting there. The Gemara is going to have three explanations of why he's going to be chayiv malchus, even though he doesn't seem to be doing any maisa. The Gemara is then going to go through the gedarim of the isra for one to cut oneself over a mace, the isra of srita ala mace. That's the last sugya in today's daf. So let's begin again on the third wide line of Daf Yutes Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Yassi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says the following great chiddush: Maaser Sheni Me'emasai Chayav Nalav. At what point does one become chayav for eating Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim? We know that you're chayav Malkus when you eat Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim, but at what point does that Maaser Sheni become eligible for a chayav Malkus? Mishara Pnei Achama. Only if that Maaser Sheni was once in Yerushalayim, and now you've removed it from Yerushalayim and you eat it, you're chayiv malchus. But if you're just mafresh maaser sheni outside of Yerushalayim and eat it, and it's never seen Yerushalayim, then you're not going to be chayiv malchus. That is the great chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan. My taimo, where does he get that from? To Amar Kra, because the pasuk says, Lefnei Hashem Elokecha Tochlenu, what are you supposed to do with your maaser sheni? You're supposed to eat it, Lefnei Hashem Elokecha, in Yerushalayim. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, right next to that, Lo Sucha Lechol B'Sharecha, that there's an iser to eat maaser sheni outside of Yerushalayim. Oh, so kol hecha de karina be lefnei Hashem elokecha tochlenu. Anytime it's possible to say about this maaser sheni that there's a mitzvah to eat it in Yerushalayim, meaning the maaser sheni has been in Yerushalayim, so karina be lo sucha lechol b'sharecha. I will then apply the iser of eating it outside of Yerushalayim. But v'kol hecha de lo karina be, anytime it's not possible to say about this maaser sheni lefnei Hashem elokecha tochlenu, because it's just not there. It's not lefnei Hashem. It's not in Yerushalayim. Well, then lo karina be lo sucha lechol b'sharecha. Then I cannot apply the iser of lo sucha lechol b'sharecha. So the iser of eating the maaser sheni outside of Yerushalayim will not apply. The chiyuv malchus of eating the maaser sheni outside of Yerushalayim will not apply to maaser sheni that had never been into Yerushalayim. Tosos over here in Dibra Maskel Amar says, "Well, wait just a second. V'kasha dekivin dekodem shir pnei abayis hachinam demutal lachol chutz im kain lo muskak liolam liftos maaser sheni." He says, I don't get the whole idea of Pidyon Maaser Sheni now. If the halacha is that when you have Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim, you're just allowed to eat it, then it's only a problem if it went into Yerushalayim. Why would anyone ever be poda their Maaser Sheni so that they can bring the money into Yerushalayim and then spend the money on food over there? You don't need to do any of that. Just eat it wherever you are. So Tosa says, no, no, V'yeshlam devadi leka lav av lasei ika d'chsiv v'tzatakatsu v'yadecha av blopati alo. We're not saying that it's mutter to eat the Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. We're saying you're not going to get malchus for violation of a lav, but it's still an iser esei to eat Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. So even according to Rabbi Yochanan's great chiddush, that one only gets malchus for eating Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim if that Maaser Sheni was once in Yerushalayim, that's not telling you you're allowed to do it. He's just saying that you wouldn't get malchus for it. So says Gemara, but even that is difficult. Meisve, I'll challenge you from a brisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kohen shall also be adu te'eino shel tevel if a Kohen has in his hand a fig of tevel, meaning the trumas and maestros were never separated from that fig. The lashon of also biyado is a little bit of a funny expression, right? Just say a kohen that has a te'ena shel tevel. So the Ritva writes that he uses also biyado to highlight that this te'ena is not mechubel lekarka, because if it was mechubel lekarka, it certainly would not have the din of tevel. Also, he says that normally you wouldn't have a din tevel on a te'ena achas. A te'ena achas is usually not part of a gemar melacha where it became tevel. So, you'd be able to eat a te'ena achas without being mafresh shumas amaisos. But over here, since you were machshivit la'achila, you were miyachidit la'achila, therefore it becomes an achilas keva, and an achilas keva is going to be aser even before a gemar melacha. So that's why it says also be other. Okay, but bottom line is you have a kohen that has a fig that is tevel, and he wants to be mafresh the shumas amaisos from it so that he can eat this fig. So Amar, he says, te'ena zo truma subu uktza. So the truma on this te'ena should be the part of the fruit that's near the stem, that's near where it was attached to the tree. Near, not the actual stem. The actual stem's not edible. That cannot be truma. It has to be buktza, meaning right near the part that's the stem. Maaser rishon, the maaser rishon of this te'ena, but tzvona, should be on the north side of this te'ena. Maaser sheni, ledroma, the maaser sheni on the south side of this te'ena. Vishnas maaser sheni, presuming that it's one of the years where you take Maaser Sheni, meaning not the third or sixth year where it's a Maaserani year, v'hu b'Yerushalayim, and the Kohen right now is in Yerushalayim. Oh, Maaserani, v'hu b'Gvulin, or even if he's not in Yerushalayim, but it's a Maaserani year, it's a third or sixth year, and he's being mafresh, and he's designating part of this Tein as Maaserani. Now, mind you, he doesn't do anything to this Tein, he doesn't cut out any pieces and take this as Truma, and that is Maaserani. He's just identifying that this part of it is Maaserishon, this part of it is Truma. So, Achala, if he then eats this te'ena, loka achas, he only gets one chi of malchus. What avera did he do when he eats this te'ena? Well, when you have maaser rishon, you have something further you're supposed to do. The Levi who gets the maaser rishon is supposed to be mafresh trumas maaser from the maaser rishon and give that to a kohen. So since this kohen has designated truma and maaser rishon and maaser sheni, but never trumas maaser, so from a trumas maaser perspective, it's tevel, and therefore he's chayiv for eating tevel of trumas meiser. It's interesting. There is a machlokas rishonim that between Tosos in a few places in Shas in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Maseches Becharos, and the Rambam, which fruits are chayiv in trumas meisos mida oraisa? Is it all peros that are chayiv mida oraisa, or only dagan tirosh v'yitzar that are chayiv mida oraisa? Meaning all dagan tirosh v'yitzar, the five grains or grapes and olives that are chayiv midar raisa. So the sheet of Tosos throughout Shas is that Maaser Peros is not midar raisa. Only Dagan Tirush V'Yitzar is dar raisa. So it is a little bit funny. We're talking about a te'ena over here. A te'ena is not Dagan Tirush V'Yitzar. And we're saying the Kohen is going to be lo ke'achas. He gets Malkus for not having taken the Trumas Maaser, for the tevel of Trumas Maaser. Why Malkus? So according to Tosos, you have to say that this is talking about Makas Mardus, that ain't a chinami. It's not Malkus Minatora. However, some of the Achronim say, you see from here that the Rambam is right, that the Rambam in Hilchos Shumos, Perek Beis, who says that the Chiv of Maaser Min HaTorah is even on Shar Peros, even on things like figs. You see Beferish in our Gemara that's true, because the Gemara says that you get Malkus for the Shumos Maaser on figs. The Achronim also point out that if we're talking about a single Te'ena, then it would be Makas Mardos anyway, because in order to be Chayiv for eating for eating tevel, you need to eat a kazayis of tevel. How many kazayisim are there in a te'ena, right? Meaning there's not a single, a kazayis isn't that big, but it's not that tiny, right? So there's no kazayis in a te'ena. So anyway, it would have to have only been makas mardus. Anyway, but that's if a kohen eats this te'ena. Vizor sha'achala, and if a non-kohen eats this te'ena, lokesh taim, he's going to get a second malkus, because he's not allowed to eat truma. Meaning the kohen is not going to get a malkus for eating the part that's near the stem, that's truma, because the kohen's allowed to eat truma. A zar is not allowed to eat truma. Shilu b'tchila achala enu lokal achas, which means if it were a non-kohen, he would have been better off never having designated any part of the fruit as truma or meiser, because the whole thing was just tevel before. It's one big iser tevel. The Ritva points out, even though it was tevel for truma and it was tevel for meiser and it was tevel for truma's meiser, it doesn't matter. It's just one iser tevel. Now by identifying, oh, this is truma and that's meiser rishon and that's meiser, now he's going to be chayiv shtayim. That's the brisa. So why are we bringing up this brisa? Because we said that we're talking about that he was in Yerushalayim. So taima di isi b'Yerushalayim. So the Gemara makes a diuk. It's only because the meiser was in Yerushalayim. That's why he's not going to get malchus for eating it. Habegvulin. But had it still been outside Yerushalayim, lo keshalosh, then the kohen who eats it should get three malchios. The zar who eats it should get three malchios, and the kohen who eats it should get two malkios, because aside from the isra of eating mice aside from the isurim that we've already identified in the brisa, there's also the isra of eating mice sheni outside of Yerushalayim. The avogav de lav roa pnei choma, and apparently that's true, even though this mice sheni has never been in Yerushalayim. So apparently you could be chayiv malkus for eating it outside of Yerushalayim, even if it was never in Yerushalayim, and that's against Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan had said this great chiddush that you're only chayiv if it had once been in Yerushalayim. So answers the Gemara that which were medayek, that if it was never in Yerushalayim, that you would still get malchus. That's not a good diuk. Maybe the Bryce was talking about da'ili va'afke, that you brought the teina into Yerushalayim and then you subsequently brought it outside of Yerushalayim. Then you'd get malchus for eating it outside of Yerushalayim. Well, says Gemara, hachi ma'ilameimra. But if that's what it's talking about, then what's the chiddush of the Bryce? Meaning, everything the Bryce tells me is a davar pashut. Meaning, we know that a kohen is allowed to eat truma. We know that a kohen is not allowed to eat tevel. We know that a zar is not allowed to eat truma, and we know that no one is allowed to eat Yerushalayim outside, allowed to eat Meiser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. So the Brisa doesn't really teach me anything. It's only if the Brisa were teaching me something through the diuk, that even if this Tena were not in Yerushalayim, were never in Yerushalayim, you would still get Malkus because right now it's outside of Yerushalayim. That would be a chiddush to tell me, not like Rabbi Yochanan. So then I would have what to learn from this brisa. But if it's not telling me against Rabbi Yochanan, then what exactly am I learning from this brisa? So it says, well, sure, there's what to learn from this brisa. The case is that you brought the te'ina into Yerushalayim while it was still tevel, and then you brought it out of Yerushalayim while it was still tevel. So the brisa is mechadesh that even though this te'ina, this fig, was in Yerushalayim only while it was still tevel, it's still considered Meiser Sheni that was in Yerushalayim. It was never in Yerushalayim as Meiser Sheni. It was in Yerushalayim before you ever designated it as Meiser Sheni. But still, it's considered that which was in Yerushalayim. V'kasavar matanus lahurmu k'mishuhurmu damyon. And that is the chiddush known as matanus lahurmu k'mishuhurmu damyon. That even that which has not, you have not been mafresh from it, you have not designated the truma of the Meiser, it's still considered legabe certain halachos as if it is the truma, it is the Meiser Rishon, it is the Meiser Sheni. It's as if it's already been hufresh. The Ritva points out that that's only, we only say Maton Shalom Kamish Shomer Daniel L'chumra. We don't say L'kula, because otherwise it would turn out that a Kohen that eats Tevel shouldn't get Malkus, because a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, right? What if you have Tevel that you were never Mafresh Truma from? So we should say, oh, Maton Shalom Kamish Shomer Daniel. What is Tevel? Tevel is that you haven't been Mafresh Truma. It's just Chulin and Truma. It's just that you haven't yet been Mafresh the Truma. And a Kohen's allowed to eat both of those things. He's allowed to eat chulin and he's allowed to eat truma. But yet we know that a kohen gets malchus for eating tevel. So we don't say it l'kula. We don't say matan shalom k'mish shomer damyon as a kula. We only say it l'chumra. So over here also, when the teina was in Yerushalayim, it was still tevel, but we view it as if it were already meiser sheni in Yerushalayim that has subsequently been taken out of Yerushalayim, and that's why you can get malchus for eating it outside of Yerushalayim. So I ask the Gemara, but wait, v'savar Rabbi Yossi matan shalom k'mish shomer damyon. Is that true? Does Rabbi Yossi really hold that Matan Shel Hurma, it's as if you've already taken the Trumas of Maisos and the Maisos Sheni that went into Yerushalayim before it was ever Maisos Sheni, while it was still Tevel, has a din of Maisos Sheni that went in and out of Yerushalayim. But don't we have a Brisa that tells us, Rabbi Shimon Yudomer, Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Lo Nechluku Beisham Beisilal Al Perish, Lo Nigmer Melachton, Va'avir Yerushalayim, Sheipad Maisos Sheni Shalayim, V'yachal B'chal Malkom, that there is no Machlokas Tanayim, there's no Machlokas Beisham Beisilal, if you have Peros that didn't even yet have a Gemar Malacha, which means they're not even Tevel yet. They're pre-Tevel. That if they went into Yerushalayim and then came outside of Yerushalayim, that you're allowed to be, when they become Tevel and then you're mafresh the Maaser Sheni, you could certainly be pulled to that Maaser Sheni and eat it wherever you want and just bring the money into Yerushalayim. That everyone agrees. You know where there's a machlokas Beisham and Beis Hillel? And be mindful, we always pass them like Beis Hillel. But you know where there's a machlokas Beisham and Beis Hillel? A peros shenigmra melachton. Peros that had already become Tevel, they were at the stage that they were Tevel, v'av Yerushalayim, and they went into Yerushalayim as Tevel, not as Maaser Sheni, as Tevel, they went into Yerushalayim. Shebeishami Yomer Miachzer Maaser Sheni Shalom V'yachal Yerushalayim. Beishami says, oh, we view that as if Maaser Sheni had already gone into Yerushalayim and come back out, and therefore you better bring it back into Yerushalayim and eat it there. Ubeisil Lomrim, Beisil says, no, you pade V'yachal B'kal Makom. No need to bring it back into Yerushalayim, even though this fruit, the actual physical fruit has been in Yerushalayim, but it wasn't Maaser Sheni when it was in Yerushalayim. It was only Tevel when it was in Yerushalayim. And therefore, it does not have a din of Maaser Sheni that went in and came out. It has a din of Maaser Sheni that's just outside of Yerushalayim where you could be podit and eat it wherever you want. But the Salka Daitach, but if you're going to say Matan Shlo Hormu Kamish Hormu Damyan, that even Matan Shlo Hormu, it says if you already took the whatever hafrasha you needed to do, Hakaltu Mechitzos. What do you mean? This is a. Why would Beis Hillel say you're allowed to be poed to it? If you really held Matan Shlomo Kamisha Ormu Damyan, then this fruit has, while it was Tevel, was in Yerushalayim, and therefore we should say that it's Ke'ilu, it's Maaser Sheni that was in Yerushalayim, and any Maaser Sheni that was in Yerushalayim is no longer eligible for Pidyon. So don't you see very clearly that Rabbi Yossi does not hold Matan Shlomo Kamisha Ormu Damyan? He holds that, and therefore the Brisa about the Kohen that was also Bialdo Tainish Shel Tevel, you can't say it's coming to be mechadesh that yichayev on Maaser Sheni begvulim when it was, since it was in Yerushalayim in a state of Tevel, because matan shlohumru kamishu hormu damin, because that's not the shita of Rabbi Yossi, and therefore we're back to the question: what was the chiddush of that brisa, if not to tell me that Rabbi Yochanan is wrong? The only chiddush of that brisa could have been to tell me that we don't pasken like Rabbi Yochanan. So Amar Rabba mechita lechol daraisa mechita liklot is drabanan. That there are two dinim of Mechitzas Yerushalayim. That this din, that if a Maaser went into Yerushalayim, that now you're going to be chayiv for eating a pekvulin, that which is the din that Rabbi Yochanan taught. Rabbi Yochanan says, you're only chayiv Malkus for eating Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. If that Maaser Sheni was once in Yerushalayim, that's a din d'araisa. And on that we'll say, Matan Shalah Hormu, Kamisha Hormu. That what qualifies it as having been inside of Yerushalayim, even if it was only inside of Yerushalayim in a state of Tevel. But the idea of Mechita Liklot, the din that if Maaser Sheni was once in Yerushalayim, you can no longer take it outside and be poda it, not eat it, be poda it outside of Yerushalayim, that's only a din Rabbanan. The Chigaz Rabbanan, when the Rabbanan were gozer, ki ise be'ene, that's only if it was in Yerushalayim as Maaser Sheni, kise be'enei, as Maaser Sheni, but betivle lo gazer Rabbanan. But if it was in Yerushalayim only as Tevel, in a pre-Maaser Sheni stage, then the Rabbanan were not gozer that you cannot be poda it, and that's why Beis Hillel Shita is that you could be poda and ochel b'kal makom. Then the Gemara says, I'll give you another answer to the question of Maile Meimra, meaning the question of what is the chiddush of this brice of the coming that's also biyado teina shel Tevel, that sounds like that if he eats the Maaser Begvulin after already went into Yerushalayim and came out, that he's going to be chayiv three malkios, l'chora that's a davar pashut, and there's no chiddush in that brisa. So Ravina Amar could go to Nakal Bekani. I'll tell you what the chiddush of the brisa is. The case is, the fellow that's carrying this fruit is in Yerushalayim, but he's holding it on a stick, and the stick is outside of Yerushalayim, and even that, he's going to be chayiv ki'ilu, the fruit already went into Yerushalayim, because the person holding the fruit is already in Yerushalayim. So, and v'tifshon, by to Rav Papa, and you recall in yesterday's daf, that was a shaila that Rav Papa had, whether that's considered that the fruit went into Yerushalayim or not. And that's exactly what this brisa is coming to address, that you see that it's considered as if the Meiser was in Yerushalayim. So just like your chayev for eating a pigvulin as if it went into Yerushalayim, so too you cannot be poded anymore. Just like any other Meiser Sheni that went into Yerushalayim, it's no longer eligible for pidyon. So according to Ravina's approach, there's no distinction between mechitza lechol and mechitza liklot, and you don't have to say matan shlohurmu kumishuhurmu. No, peros that went into Yerushalayim while they were tevel and then went out of Yerushalayim are not chayiv. You're not chayiv on the meiser that you were mafresh afterwards if you eat that meiser sheni in the gvulin, and it's also eligible for pidyon like Beis Hillel in the second brisa. So everything would be resolved. There would be no problem whatsoever. Okay, so now we move on to the next mission, which continues in Yisuri Malkus, and this is going to be Yisuri Malkus that relate to the physical body, things that a person does on their own physical body. HaKoreach Korcha Berosho, if a person removes hair from the head as a sign of mourning over a mace. The Nemuke Yosef says it doesn't mean only Barosho, Ozekano, meaning if a person pulls hair out of their beard, also as a sign of mourning on the mace, it's the same Isser. So the Rashash in the back of the Gemara says, I don't know, it's the Mishnah says Akreach Korcha Barosho, the Pasuk says Barosham, it says Barosh, so it sounds like it's only Barosh. So and all the Poskim, all the Rishonim, you don't find any one that says this. So where did the Mukhe Yosef come up with this from? So in Kiddushin, Daflam and Hayam Lebeis, so the Rashash says, it must be a Tal Sofer and the Mukhe Yosef. The Mukhe Yosef never said it. He wouldn't have invented a new Isser of Koreach Korcha Bizakano if it's not in the Pasuk, it's not in the Mishnah, it's not in the Gemara, it's not in the Rishonim. So the Mukhe Yosef was one of the Rishonim, but later Rishonim. So in Kiddushin, the Mukhe Yosef is Medayik from Lashon of the Gemara that Korcha is Bekol Makom Seir, and not only the Gemara's medayik that it's b'kol makom seir, not only in the Rosh. So it could be that there's another source that it does come, that it does apply b'kol makom seir, and that it's not a typo. So anyway, HaKoreach Korcha Barosho, let's assume the head. Person makes a bald spot on their head in mourning over a mace. V'amakiv pa'as rosho, or a person cuts off their peos harosh, nothing to do with the mace, just them, cuts off their peos harosh. Meaning makiv is lashon of makes a rounds off the haircut, because we're going to see that's what it is, that a person cuts off the area of the hair that sort of protrudes, that protrudes downward. So he makes a nice round circle around his head. That is a violation of cutting off the peos harosh. V'amashchis pasukano, if someone destroys the hair of his beard, v'asoret srita achas alameis, if a person cuts himself, and that's only alameis, so in mourning over a mace, chayiv malchus for all of these different isurim. So now we get some of the details. Saret Srita Achas al Chamisha Mesim, if a person makes one cut on themselves over the loss of five different mesim, O Chamish Sritos al Mes Echad, or five cuts over a single mace, Chayiv al Kalachas Vachas. He's going to be Chayiv for Kol Srita and for Kol Mace, for each Srita, for each mace. Ala Rosh Tayim Achas Mikan Vachas Mikan, as far as the Isra of Hakafas Arosh, of cutting off the Peos Arosh, there are two Peos Arosh, and you're Chayiv twice, once for the right side Peos Arosh, the other for the left side peos harosh. The Tos Yontov writes that it's only by Korcha and Srita that where it's about a mace, where we say that many Sritos and Krichos for one Nefesh there's a room to say that it's only Chayiv one Malkus, and I need a Pasuk to be Marbe that you're Chayiv for each Nefesh and but by a Kafas HaRosh, which has nothing to do with the mace, it's just on your body, there's not even a Hava Amina to say that you should only be Chayiv Achas, right? That's what the Tos Yontov points out, that we're going to need Drushas to tell me that if you make Chamish Krichos al Meis Achas, that you're going to be Chayiv five times. Why would I think not that way? Because it's about the mace, and there's only one mace, whereas Hakafas HaRosh has nothing to do with the mace. So it's obvious that you're going to be Chayiv twice, once for each of the Peos HaRosh. Al HaZakan, when it comes to the Peos HaZakan, there are Shtayim Mikan V'Achas Milamata. There are two spots on each side of the face, and one spot down below, that one is going to be Chayiv for Hashchas HaZakan. Meaning it's not your entire face that has an issur of shaving with a razor. The reason we don't touch a razor to any part of our face is because we're not exactly sure what those five spots are, so we don't want to play with fire over here. We're dealing with the issur d'oraisa. Reb Lezer Omer, im nitlu kulon ka'achas, einu chayev ela achas. If you remove all the peos harosh, or all of the peos hazakan, all at one time, then you're only chayev achas, according to Rabbi Eliezer. You only chayev one malchus. Ve'enu chayev at sheitlenu b'ta'ar. When it comes to the hashchasas hazakan specifically, it's only when it's b'ta'ar. It's only if you remove it with a razor, because that's called hashchasa. By peos harosh, it's not a din in hashchasa, it's a din in hakafa. So if you leave yourself without any peos harosh, regardless of how you remove the peos harosh, you're going to be chayev. But by peos hazakan, it's only if you leave yourself without a beard, you're not going to be chayev. It's only if you did a hashchasa, if you did it in a way of derech hashchasa. Rabbi Lezer Omer, afilu lukato b'malaki t'paritni chayev. Rabbi Lezer says, no, even if you removed it with something that would not be that would not be a typical shaving instrument, you used a tweezer to pull out your peos hazakan, or you used a plane, which is normally used to smooth out wood, to remove the peos hazakan, you're still going to be chayev. That's also considered to be a giluach sheyesh bo hashchasa. So now the Brisa says as follows: Tanu Rabbanan lo yikruchu yachla filu karach arba v'chamesh krichos lo yechayev ala achas. Pasuk says lo yikruchu. So I might think that even if over in one's anguish and suffering over the loss of a mace, that he does a four or five different bald spots, that he's only going to be chayev one malchus. Talmud Omer. That's why the pasuk says korcha lechayev al kol korcha v'korcha. That's an extra word to tell me that you chayev for each and every korcha, regardless of how many mace it is. Even if it was only one mace, but you have five different karchos. Birosham matam lomar. Why does it say birosham? Levisha namar, because it says los esko dedu velos asimu karcha beinei nechem lemeis. Yach lo yehechayev ela al bein ha'einayim bilvad. I might think that the only spot that you're not allowed to make a bald spot on your head is beinei nechem, is in the makom atfilin. Minayin l'rabus kol arosh. How do I know that a bald spot on any part of the head violates that iser? Tamalomar birosham. That's why it says by the Kohanim, there are psukim by Kohanim that say you're not allowed to make bald spots, that Kohanim are not allowed to do so, and psukim by anybody, by Yisraelim, that they're not allowed to do so. So in the context of Kohanim, it says Berosham L'Rabbos Kol Arosh, and that tells me that any place on the head is part of this Isser of L'Yikruchu. The Ritva points out the fact that it says by Yisrael Bein Einechem, meaning why not just say, if it means the whole head, why not just say the whole head? Why would it say Bein Einechem? So the Ritva says, that's to teach me what the Gemara in Kiddushin derives from there. That when it says by tefillin b'nei nechem, it means on the rosh in the makom that's adjacent to, across from b'nei naim. Meaning one might have thought that by tefillin b'nei nechem means literally between the eyes. But you see, it's megalin in the pasuk by karcha that there's an isra of karcha b'nei nechem. Well, my forehead is bald anyway. Even when I was young, my forehead was bald. So the idea of b'nei nechem doesn't make sense to have an isra of karcha b'nei nechem mamish. So you see that when the Torah uses the term b'nei nechem, it means on a makom of the head that has that would typically have hair. V'ein li'el b'kohanim, I would only know about the kohanim because that you're chayiv and kol makom shabarosh, because that's where it says barosham shriv ben akasim mitzvaseres. And there's reason to assume that kohanim have separate yisurim that Yisraelim don't, because there are lots of dinim that apply to kohanim that don't apply to Yisrael. A kohen's not allowed to marry a grusha. Yisrael's allowed to marry a grusha. Yisrael minayin. How do I know that Yisrael is chayiv for making a bald spot on every single spot of the head? Because Nemar Khan, it says by Yisrael, korcha, v'nemar lahalon, and it says by Kohanim, korcha, so we make a gzer shav, ma lahalon, just like by Kohanim, chayiv al kol, korcha v'korcha v'chayiv ala rosh kibene enayim, just like by Kohanim, you're chayiv for each bald spot, and you're chayiv on the whole rest of the head the same way you'd be chayiv on bene enayim, sa'afkan, so too by Yisrael, chayiv al kol korcha v'korcha v'chayiv ala rosh kibene enayim, you're chayiv for each bald spot, and you're chayiv on the entirety of the head, just like bene enayim, umal alon, and just like by Yisrael, al meis, the Torah specifically says, lo sasimu korcha bene enechem l'meis, sa'afkan, Kan. So too by Kohanim, it's Al Meis. Even though the Pasuk by Kohanim never identifies that the reason you're making the bald spots is over Tsar of a Meis. But I derive that from the connection to the Yisra of Korcha by Yisrael. So even though it never says Berosham by Yisrael, I know that it's that applies to Yisrael. And even though it never says La Meis by a Kohen, I know that that applies to a Kohen. It's a two-way street. So Hani Arba V'Chamish Krichos Hechidami. When it says that in the Brisa, that you're chayiv for four or five different krichos, what exactly is the circumstance where one is going to make four or five different bald spots and chayiv separately for each of them? If someone gives asra for each one, they tell you, don't make a bald spot. And you say, I don't care, I'm in such anguish, and you make a bald spot. Then they give you another asra. Don't make a bald spot, you give me chayiv malchus. And they do it again. Well, pshita, obviously, if you do the same misra over and over again with different asraos each time and a different maisa each time, obviously you can be chayiv separately for each and every one. What's the must be that they gave only one asra. They said, don't make any bald spots because you're going to be chayiv for a malchus for making a bald spot in tsar over a mace. And the person makes five bald spots on their head. So, well, mima chayiv, are you really chayiv five malchios for that? Vatana, and there's a parallel discussion about a nazir in Maseches Nazir. We're going to have in Maseches Malchus, really, that nazir shows a kol hayom, a nazir that was drinking wine all day, einu chayiv alachas, he's only chayiv one malchus, but amru lo altishte vushosa chayv al kalachas vachas. If you give him a separate asra each time, he's only chayv once. So if you only gave him one asra in the morning, he said, you better not drink any wine today because you're a nazir. If you drink wine, you're going to be chayv malchus. And then he starts drinking and he goes binge drinking all day long. So he's only going to be chayv one malchus. So don't you see that if there's only one asra, there's only one malchus? So why should making bald spots on that be any different? If there was only one asra, I don't care how many bald spots he made, he should only be chayv one malchus. So what's the case where it's true that you'd be chayiv four or five malchus for four or five bald spots, and it's a chiddush that you'd be chayiv? Meaning, I can imagine a case that it's true where you got hasra for each one, but then it's not a chiddush. So where is it going to be true and also a chiddush? So it says more lotzricha. The case is that you chayiv al kolachas v'achas even with one hasra disach chamish etzba'osav v'nasha, that nasha, you put hair removal chemicals on each of your five fingers on your hand, and you put all five fingers on your head at one time, and you remove me, thereby making five bald spots all at once. So the asra goes on each of those bald spots, on each of the fingers that you're using to remove hair. So because you can't say that the asra is chal on one finger more than the other, and since we can't identify one of these bald spots any more than the other to be the one that you're chayiv malchus for, we assume you're chayiv malchus for all of them. Now, Tosfos points out, and what if that same thing were to happen with a nazir? So you'd only be chayiv once because there was only one hasra'ah. But over here, the pasuk says karcha to teach me that you're chayiv al kol kricha kricha, meaning there is some chiddush over here that doesn't have, that's the whole point. Meaning if everything if all the halachos of malchus for karcha could be derived from the dinim of malchus for a nazir, then I wouldn't need halachos over here, meaning it would be obvious, it would be pshita. So what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that there's a din here that doesn't apply by a nazir. There is no such parallel by a nazir where one hasra is going to land the nazir with five different malchus. But here you do have such a case, a chiddush of the pasuk by saying karcha, that you do have such a thing when it comes to making bald spots. V'kamashir karcha, how much hair needs to be removed for it to be called a karcha? So Ravuna b'kadeshiyira meirosho. Ravuna says if someone would see, it's visible that it's a bald spot. Rabbi Yochanan Mishum, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, kigris. It has to be the size of a gris, which is the amount of space where 36 hairs are able to grow. So kitanai, that's already machlokas tanaim. Kavashir karcha, what is the size of a karcha? Kigris. Acher marm kadesh yir mirosho. Tanakama says kigris, and others say kadesh yir mirosho, enough that it's a visible bald spot. Amar vidabar chaviva pligibat chlasa tanai. There's actually three opinions about how large of a bald spot qualifies. Chadomer kigris, v'chadomer kadesh yir mirosho, v'chadomer kishtei sa'aros. There's a third opinion that says even removal of two hairs is called a bald spot. Adasha. Some say that the third opinion is not Shtei Sa'aros, but the third opinion is the size of an Adasha, which is, two rows of Shtei Sa'aros, a little more than Shtei Sa'aros. V'simanach, and the way to remember which Shita is being exchanged out for which Shita, meaning everyone agrees that there's only three Shitas, there's no four Shitas. Question is what the third Shita is. So which one are we removing from the original list to put in Bekadasha? So the way to remember that is Baharis Kagris Umichi Bekadasha, that the dinim of Tzara'as is that the shear of a Baharis is a Kagris and the shear of a Michi is Kadasha. So by Karcha also there's a shear of a Gris and there's a shear of an Adasha. So we're not exchanging out Kadasha for a Gris, we're exchanging out Kadasha for Shtei Saros. But Gris and Adasha are two different Shitos. So Tana, Hanota Melopi Azog B'Shabbos Chayiv. If a person takes a scissorful of hair off his head on Shabbos, he's going to be chayiv. Kam lo piyazug. How much is that? Amrabido shtayim means shtei saros. Va'atanya lekorcha shtayim. But didn't the Brisa say to be chayiv malchus for korcha alameis? You're chayiv shtayim. So it sounds like that's different than Shabbos. Se'ema v'chein lekorcha shtayim. It's not different than Shabbos. Meaning it's saying, yeah, just like in Hilcha Shabbos, if you remove shtei saros, you're chayiv. So too, it's an isser of korcha when you remove shtei saros. Tani namiyachi. And a brisa that supports this, and a note of Melopi Azug b'Shabbos Chayiv v'Kam Melopi Azug Shtayim. That is Shtei Saros that you Chayiv for hair removal on Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer Omer Achas. Rabbi Lezer says even one hair. But Umodim Chum the Rabbi Lezer, even the Chum who normally say that you need to remove Shtei Saros in order to be Chayiv on Shabbos, they will be Moda b'Malakit Levanos Mitoch Shcharos. That if you're removing white hairs from a head of black hair in order to make yourself look younger, you don't like the white hairs. Afilu Achas. Even if you remove just one white hair shu chayiv, because you're giving that a certain sense of chashivus, meaning the shear of shtei saros is because that's chashuv, but the one white hair is obviously chashuv to you because you see it worthwhile to remove that one white hair. But you should know it's not only a Shabbos inyan. You're not even allowed to do that on a weekday because the pasuk says liyiblish gever simlas isha. Now the phrase mishum shenemar, the Ritva points out, is not a normal phrase that you would use to describe an isur daraisa. Whenever we say mishum, it means it's removed, right? I mean, even when we're quote Amoraim, when the Gemara Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Yochanan met Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. No, that's why it's not Amar Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right? It's Mishum because he never met him. He's just saying something that he heard in his name. So too when we quote Psukim, if you say Shenemar or something like that, so then it means that it's from the pasuk. Mishum implies that it's only a drabanan, that it's only an asmachta. So the Ritva makes that diuk over here. In fact, Rav Sturmbach has a tshuva where he thinks that for those who say L'shem Yichra, at least in the Muchan prior to Sfiras HaOmer, so he says, well, I'm about to be Mekayim, let's say Kamosha Kasa Batorah, etc. And he says that's wrong, because Sfiras HaOmer B'zman HaZez, Drabbanan, it's not Taraisa. You should say Mishum Shenemar Batorah, and quote the Pesukim, because Mishum implies that it's only a Din Drabbanan, not a Din Taraisa. V'amakav Pas Rosh, we then said there's a Din of cutting off the Peos HaRosh. Tarabban Pas Rosh Sof Rosh, means the edges of that. The Ezer Sof Rosh, where's that? That a person is bald on their forehead and you're bald behind your ear, so connecting those two bald spots of the forehead to behind the ear to have one straight bald spot. So that's cutting off the whole side, you know, the side area of the head. So Tani Tani Kamed Rav Chista, they taught a brice in front of Rav Chista, Echra Makif Echra Nikaf Loka, both the person giving the haircut and the person receiving the haircut are both going to be Chayiv Malkus. So Amalei Rav Chista said, why? Manda Ochel Tamri Barbila Lucky. If as a person who eats dates from a basket that someone else happened to have picked the dates off of the tree on Yontif, the person who eats them is going to get Malkus. What did he do? He didn't do any mice of picking dates. So why would you be Chayiv Malkus for getting the haircut? You're just sitting there in the chair. You're not doing anything. So it says Gemara three explanations. Number one, Damar Lachmani Rabbi Yudi Damar Lav Shem B'Maisa Lokanalav. First of all, this may be only according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that which we've seen a few times already in this Masechta, that you get Malkus on the Lav Shem B'Maisa. If you hold that you only get Malkus and Lav Sheish B'Maisa, maybe the Nikif is not going to be Chayiv. Second approach is Rava Omer B'Makif La'atzmo V'Divrei HaKol. No, we're talking about a person who's giving himself a haircut. So he's doing a Maisa and he's Chayiv two Malkios, one for being a Makif and one for being a Nikif, because the Torah says that in the Pulah, Lo Sakifu, that there's an Isra of a Makif and a Nikif. Ravashi Omer, Ravashi says a third Shita, that of how a Nikif is going to be Chayiv, B'Misayeya V'Divrei HaKol, that he had adjusts his head, he moves his head around to enable the person to give him the haircut, and that's going to be enough of a maisa to be chayiv. Rabbi Kivega raises the question: why does it matter that he is misayaya? He's still not doing the maisa avera. Meaning what? If he was wearing a hat and you remove the hat so that someone could give him a haircut, that also is going to be a maisa avera that he's now going to be chayiv because he removed the hat. Otherwise, the guy wouldn't have been able to give him the haircut. So what? That he's making his head available. He's not doing the actual maisa iser. So Rabbi Kivega leaves that as tsarich iyun gadol. He has this in a tshuva in some sadivav. He says tsarich iyun gadol. Why that would be the case? Yabne Nezer says that since even without a maisa, there's an iser to be a nikif, you don't need a very strong maisa to make it a lav sheyesh ba maisa, since it would be usr anyway. Va'mashkes pa'asakano. We then say mashkes pa'asakano is also chayv tar rabban pa'asakano sof sakano. Pa'asakano means at the end of the zakan. Ve'ezu sof sakano. Where is the end of the zakan? So that's a shibola sakano. It's a reference to all five spots on the face, which is a different discussion to actually identify what those five spots on the face are. And then the next discussion is going to be about Misari Tzvitachas, about a person who cuts themselves, Rahman al-Slan, in tsar, in anguish over the loss of a mace. We'll begin with that discussion, Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow. Everyone have a good L'chedesh and a wonderful day.